And now it's 111, 112 on WGN. Let me just start by playing for you a commercial that I found online today. I was actually just clicking around on the interwebs the way we all do, and then this pops up. This is the first part of the commercial. It's for an insurance company, and I'll sort of describe it as it goes.
I'm home.
Guy walks in the door, little geeky looking. He sees rose petals on the steps that go all the way up to the bed. So he hops in the bed filled with rose petals. There's somebody under the sheets. But that's not his wife waiting for him under the sheets. It's an alligator or crocodile under the sheets. And it turns on him and starts to attack him. So then he leaps in pain and terror and tries to fight off the attacking alligator. In the second part of the commercial, then, they cut to his wife, who is holding the door shut so he can't escape because the alligator is now going to kill him.
Life insurance so good, they're going to want you dead. I'm okay, guys.
But seriously, intentionally killing a policyholder will void all life insurance benefits.
And then it says, seriously, intentionally killing a policyholder will void all life insurance benefits. So I'm watching this commercial. I thought, well, that can't be real. So I typed in the URL, the website on my browser, and it comes to a life insurance company. And that's the way their tagline is, life insurance so good, they're going to want you dead. I'm no prude. I like quirky ad as much as the next guy, but I don't know that I would have green lit that if I were the insurance company.
There's quirky, and then there's
just like really life. So think about that. Life insurance so good. They're going to want. So in other words, you've taken out an insurance policy. You got $1 million on you, and you life insurance so good. It's good for you, I guess, because you're not paying a high premium.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good for the benefit. The benefactors, right?
The beneficiaries, because now they're going to get $1 million because they're going to kill you because they want that money. Well, that's a hell of a way
it's
to sell insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, but wait a minute. But now I'm thinking, well, then in that case, I don't think I want to get insured because there'll be an alligator in the bed waiting for me. Now, maybe there won't be, but it's life insurance so good they're going to think, yeah, if he dies, he dies. So I called the guy I know. But then it made me think, okay, is that serious? Are they serious when they say intentionally killing a policyholder will void life insurance benefits? So if somebody, okay, let me just bring Bob Brandon here, who's with a company called Life Quotes. He's an insurance broker. Bob, you're on WGN Radio. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, John. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Are you familiar with that campaign? I haven't mentioned the company, and I won't, but are you familiar with that campaign?
I am. To the extent that I've seen it a couple times, I'm familiar with it, yes.
I just want to do the nuts and bolts of this thing. Intentionally killing a policyholder, that does void the benefits, right?
Well, if the beneficiary kills you, yes. That's called murder, and that's not going to work. If you are murdered, that's a covered event. So the policy would pay and does pay all the time in those instances, just like a car crash.
Sure. Okay, do you have just a minute to answer some kind of weird questions about this for me?
Absolutely.
Okay, stay right there. We'll pick it up here in a minute. This is WGN. It's 120 on WGN Radio. We're talking to Bob Bland. Bob, what's your title? You're the CEO of Life Quote, right?
Yes, correct.
And what does that mean? What does Life Quote do?
Well, our official name is LifeQuotes.com, and we are a life insurance brokerage firm headquartered in Darien, suburban Chicago. And we've been in business for several decades, and we're very, very tech-enabled in that we have a database of 40 leading life insurance companies' rates and coverages. So we allow people to come and get quotes and basically buy from the company of their choice.
I know a little bit about your business because we're going to be doing commercials for you, but that's not why I called you today. I just saw this commercial pop up in my feed, and when I clicked on it, it reminded me of a couple of things you and I talked about off the air. So at the end of this commercial where they say, not for your firm, life insurance so good, they're going to want you dead. Life insurance so good, they're going to want you dead. And then it's funny, the alligator attacks the guy. His wife locks him in the room so she gets the $1 million. What a great way to sell insurance. And you just reminded us that if you kill somebody to get their insurance and they can prove that that's what happened, then even if you're the beneficiary, you don't get the money. If someone else kills you or you die in an accident, well, then of course the beneficiaries get the money. If someone dies by suicide, what typically happens in a case like that?
Well, you picked some tough subjects today.
How about it?
Yes. If someone dies by suicide and they have an insurance policy in force, the policy is payable after it has been in force for 2 years. During the first 2 years, suicide is one of the only exclusions in a policy. Well, there's actually two exclusions. One is if you made a material misrepresentation, which is fancy language for you lied about something important. The other is suicide. So suicide is not covered ever within the first 2 years of a life insurance policy.
But after taking out a policy, if after 2 years someone dies by suicide, then it does pay?
Sadly, yes.
Sadly, because sometimes that happens. What about if I make a material misrepresentation? Say I'm a smoker. I've done this recently. I was talking to somebody about insurance, and they were asking me questions like, do I smoke? And I said, no, I don't, because I don't. But I also knew that was a good answer. What if somebody lies about that on their insurance policy?
Right. And that's a common, we'll call that a fib or selective memory. That's a very common occurrence here, is to lie about tobacco use. So in that instance, if you were to die within the first two policy years, the company, the life insurer, would re-underwrite you. And what that means is they're going to take another look at your application with the facts at hand, and they're going to decide, would we have issued a policy or not on this individual had we known what we now know? And if the answer is yes, then they'll pay the death claim, but they would deduct off, for example, the premium, the smoker's premium. And generally speaking, as most adults know or may know, tobacco use can generally double the price of life insurance. So a lot of people pick that particular area to have selective memory about, which we don't recommend. But they do have the grounds to deny the claim, to decline it. But as a practical matter, recalculate the premium, apply the smoker rate, and then pay the death benefit and deduct off the correct premium. As opposed to a material misrepresentation where they would not have issued the policy at all.
Mm-hmm.
So say you had a policy that does not take smokers, does not take tobacco users, and there are some out there like that. They would decline the claim.
Even after 2 years?
No. No, no, no. After 2 years, it's payable no matter what. The policy, after 2 years, life insurance policies become what's called incontestable, and they are payable, generally speaking, for death by any cause at any time in any place.
Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not encouraging people to lie, but if you get through the two-year window, is that the gamble people take? They go, well, I'll get a lower rate and as long as I hang on for 2 years, I get the lower rate and the thing still has to pay.
It is, and people are tempted to do it, especially when they buy 10, 20, or 30-year term insurance. They're tempted to fudge on that tobacco use. We, of course, warn them not to and ask them not to. It is a material federal. It's a crime in all 50 states to make a material misrepresentation on an application. So you have a second issue. That is, it's a criminal activity to lie or make an omission on an insurance application. That goes for all lines of insurance, by the way. So a lot of people don't realize that, and it's not quite as innocent as you would think. The other thing is, on a humanistic basis, I would warn people against doing it, because the life insurers are really a pretty smart bunch of people, and they're going to use modern database technology to do a background check on you. especially at these low rates that we're seeing now for life insurance. And they're going to check a number of available databases. And trust me when I tell you this, they're going to find out pretty easily if you're a smoker.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There's history of purchases you've made.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And then they're even entitled to interview friends and family members. They're completely entitled to pull all of your medical records.
Really?
So if you ever had a discussion about smoking or tobacco use with your doctor, that's a permanent part of your medical record.
HIPAA doesn't protect me from that?
Well, no, you've authorized the life insurer to look at that record.
Here's a question I had. So I was talking to my financial guy, said, John, you should get some insurance. I said, okay, I'll look into getting some insurance. And they were going through all of these things. Have I done risky things? Have I had a heart attack before? And my resume, health-wise, is pretty good. And they say, have you had any cancers? And I says, well, I have had some of these little skin cancers. Oh, really? And I'm thinking, ah, crap, I shouldn't have said that. But then I thought, well, I better tell them. But then I thought, no, I need to make it the worst case scenario, because heaven forbid something terrible happened to me as a result of my skin cancer. I need to disclose it so I make sure they pay to my beneficiaries. So I was a little, that was sort of the mental give and take I was doing there, Bob.
Yeah, don't do that. Let me give you some better advice.
Okay.
Literally, just answer those life insurance questions literally. Many of them are yes, no. And if you indicate you've had skin cancer, I can tell you from doing this over three decades, life insurers compete for your business. And they compete for customer business based upon underwriting guidelines. And they look at skin cancer differently. And so depending upon the type of skin cancer you had, mm-hmm. depending upon the look back period when you last had
right.
symptoms
right.
or treatments, all of that matters. So don't, when you're answering a life insurance application, don't try and double guess them. Just answer the questions literally, because they're going to check in your medical records anyway. And if you're dealing with a good broker, he or she will be fighting to get you the best rate. And all that takes its natural course in our industry. So don't guess at what they're doing, because skin cancer, that's a great example. You don't want to make it worse than it is. You don't want to make it better than it is. Just answer the direct
questions. I was going to make it worse. I decided that I need to make it worse than it is.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you don't need to do that.
Okay, well, I appreciate the advice, Bob.
You're too honest.
That's not been said about me many times, but I thought, why the hell am I paying these premiums if then they say, well, John didn't tell us that, so he should have elaborated more to make sure that Brenda or whoever is getting the money is getting the money.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Bob Bland, I'm out of time. Your company is lifequotes.com. And this conversation's got going because I saw somebody else advertising life insurance so good, they're going to want you dead. Don't go killing anybody. All it won't pay. It's nice to talk to you, Bob. Thanks for your time today.
You betcha. Thank you.
Well, that wasn't an ordinary conversation.